This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Vicious, written by L.J. Shin, performed by Savannah Peachwood and Christian Rummel.
Chapter 1. Emilia. My grandmama once told me that love and hate are the same feelings experienced under different circumstances. The passion is the same. The pain is the same. That weird thing that bubbles in your chest, same. I didn't believe her until I met Baron Spencer, and he became my nightmare. Then my nightmare became my reality. I thought I'd escaped him. I was even stupid enough to think he'd forgotten I ever existed. But when he came back, he hit harder than I ever thought possible. And just like a domino, I fell. 10 years ago. I'd only been inside the mansion once before, when my family first came to Todos Santos. That was 2 months ago. That day, I stood rooted in place on the same ironwood flooring that never creaked. The first time, Mama had elbowed my ribs. "You know this is the toughest floor in the world?" She failed to mention it belonged to the man with the toughest heart in the world. I couldn't for the life of me understand why people with so much money would spend it on such a depressing house. 10 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms, an indoor gym, and a dramatic staircase. The best amenities money could buy, and except for the tennis court and 65-foot pool, they were all in black. Black choked out every pleasant feeling you might possibly have as soon as you walked through the big iron-studded doors. The interior designer must have been a medieval vampire, judging from the cold, lifeless colors and the giant iron chandeliers hanging from the ceilings. Even the floor was so dark that it looked like I was hovering over an abyss, a fraction of a second from falling into nothingness. A 10-bedroom house, 3 people living in it, 2 of them barely ever there, and the Spencers had decided to house my family in the servants' apartment near the garage. It was bigger than our clapboard rental in Richmond, Virginia, but until that moment, it had still rubbed me the wrong way. Not anymore. Everything about the Spencer mansion was designed to intimidate. Rich and wealthy, yet poor in so many ways. These are not happy people, I thought. I stared at my shoes, the tattered white Vans I doodled colorful flowers on to hide the fact that they were knockoffs, and swallowed, feeling insignificant, even before he had belittled me, before I even knew him. "I wonder where he is," Mama whispered. As we stood in the hallway, I shivered at the echo that bounced off the bare walls. She wanted to ask if we could get paid 2 days early because we needed to buy medicine for my younger sister, Rosie. "I hear something coming from that room." She pointed to a door on the opposite side of the vaulted foyer. "You go knock. I'll go back to the kitchen to wait." "Me? Why me?" "Because," she said, pinning me with a stare that stabbed at my conscience. "Rosie's sick and his parents are out of town. You're his age. He'll listen to you." I did as I was told. Not for Mama. For Rosie. Without understanding the consequences. The next few minutes cost me my whole senior year and were the reason why I was ripped from my family at the age of 18. Vicious thought I knew his secret. I didn't. He thought I'd found out what he was arguing about in that room that day. I had no clue. All I remember was trudging toward the threshold of another dark door, my fist hovering inches from it, before I heard the deep rasp of an old man.
"You know the drill, Baron."
A man. A smoker, probably.
"My sister told me you're giving her trouble again."
The man slurred his words before raising his voice and slapping his palm against a hard surface.
"I've had enough of you disrespecting her." Fuck you.
I heard the composed voice of a younger man. He sounded amused.
And fuck her, too. Wait, is that why you're here, Daryl? You want a piece of your sister, too? The good news is that she's open for business if you have the buck to pay.
Look at the mouth on you, you little cunt.
Slap.
Your mother would have been proud.
Silence, and then...
Say another word about my mother, and I'll give you a real reason to get those dental implants you were talking about with my dad.
The younger man's voice dripped venom, which made me think he might not be as young as Mama thought.
Stay away,
the younger voice warned.
I can beat the shit out of you now. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty tempted to do so. All the fucking time. I'm done with your shit.
And what the hell makes you think you have a choice?
The older man chuckled darkly. I felt his voice in my bones, like poison eating at my skeleton.
Haven't you heard?
The younger man gritted out.
I like to fight. I like the pain. Maybe because it makes it so much easier for me to come to terms with the fact that I'm going to kill you one day. And I will, Daryl. One day, I will kill you.
I gasped, too stunned to move. I heard a loud smack, then someone tumbling down, dragging some items with him as he fell to the floor. I was about to run. This conversation obviously wasn't meant for me to hear, but he caught me off guard. Before I knew what was happening, the door swung open, and I came face to face with a boy around my age. I say a boy, but there was nothing boyish about him. The older man stood behind him, panting hard, hunched with his hands flat against a desk. Books were scattered around his feet, and his lip was cut and bleeding. The room was a library. Soaring, floor-to-ceiling, walnut shelves full of hardbacks lined the walls. I felt a pang in my chest because I somehow knew there wasn't any way I'd ever be allowed in there again.
What the fuck?
The teenage boy seethed. His eyes narrowed. They felt like the sight of a rifle aimed at me. 17? 18? The fact that we were about the same age somehow made everything about the situation worse. I ducked my head, my cheeks flaming with enough heat to burn down the whole house.
Have you been listening?
His jaw twitched. I frantically shook my head no, but that was a lie. I'd always been a terrible liar.
I didn't hear a thing, I swear.
I choked on my words.
My mama works here. I was looking for her.
Another lie. I'd never been a scaredy cat. I was always the brave one. But I didn't feel so brave at that moment. After all, I wasn't supposed to be there, in his house, and I definitely wasn't supposed to be listening to their argument. The young man took a step closer, and I took a step back. His eyes were dead. But his lips were red, full, and very much alive. This guy is going to break my heart if I let him. The voice came from somewhere inside my head, and the thought stunned me because it made no sense at all. I'd never fallen in love before, and I was too anxious to even register his eye color or hairstyle, let alone the notion of ever having any feelings for the guy.
What's your name?
He demanded. He smelled delicious, a masculine spice of boy man, sweet sweat, sour hormones, and the faint trace of clean laundry, one of my mama's many chores.
Emilia!
I cleared my throat and extended my arm.
My friends call me Millie. Y'all can too.
His expression revealed zero emotion.
You're fucking done, Emilia.
He drawled my name, mocking my southern accent and not even acknowledging my hand with a glance. I withdrew it quickly, embarrassment flaming my cheeks again.
Wrong fucking place and wrong fucking time. Next time I find you anywhere inside my house, bring a body bag, because you won't be leaving alive.
He thundered past me, his muscular arm brushing my shoulder. I choked on my breath.
My gaze bolted to the other man, and our eyes locked. He shook his head and grinned in a way that made me want to fold into myself and disappear. Blood dripped from his lip onto his leather boot, black like his worn MC jacket. What was he doing in a place like this anyway? He just stared at me, making no move to clean up the blood. I turned around and ran, feeling the bile burning in my throat, threatening to spill over. Needless to say, Rosie had to make do without her medicine that week, and my parents were paid not a minute earlier than when they were scheduled to. That was 2 months ago. Today, when I walked through the kitchen and climbed the stairs, I had no choice. I knocked on Vicious's bedroom door. His room was on the second floor at the end of the wide curved hallway, the door facing the floating stone staircase of the cave-like mansion. I'd never been near Vicious's room, and I wished I could keep it that way. Unfortunately, my calculus book had been stolen. Whoever broke into my locker had wiped it clean of my stuff and left garbage inside. Empty soda cans, cleaning supplies, and condom wrappers spilled out the minute I opened the locker door. Just another not-so-clever, yet effective way for the students at All Saints High to remind me that I was nothing but the cheap help around here. By that point, I was so used to it, I barely reddened at all. When all eyes in the hallway darted to me, snickers and chuckles rising out of every throat, I tilted my chin up and marched straight to my next class. All Saints High was a school full of spoiled, overprivileged sinners. A school where if you failed to dress or act a certain way, you didn't belong. Rosie blended in better than I did, thank the Lord. But with a southern drawl, offbeat style, and one of the most popular guys at school, that being Vicious Spencer, hating my guts, I didn't fit in. What made it worse was that I didn't want to fit in. These kids didn't impress me. They weren't kind or welcoming or even very smart. They didn't possess any of the qualities I looked for in friends. But I needed my textbook badly if I ever wanted to escape this place. I knocked 3 times on the mahogany door of Vicious's bedroom. Rolling my lower lip between my fingers, I tried to suck in as much oxygen as I could, but it did nothing to calm the throbbing pulse in my neck. Please don't be there. Please don't be an ass. Please. A soft noise seeped from the crack under the door, and my body tensed. Giggling. Vicious never giggled. Heck, he hardly ever chuckled. Even his smiles were few and far between. No, the sound was undoubtedly female. I heard him whisper in his raspy tone something inaudible that made her moan. My ears seared, and I anxiously rubbed my hands on the yellow cut-off denim shorts covering my thighs. Out of all the scenarios I could have imagined, this was by far the worst. Him, with another girl, who I hated before I even knew her name. It didn't make any sense, yet I felt ridiculously angry. But he was clearly there, and I was a girl on a mission. Vicious? I called out, trying to steady my voice. I straightened my spine, even though he couldn't see me. It's Millie. Sorry to interrupt y'all. I just wanted to borrow your calc book. Mine's lost, and I really need to get ready for that exam we have tomorrow.
God forbid you ever study for our exam yourself, I breathed silently.
He didn't answer, but I heard a sharp intake of breath, the girl, and the rustle of fabric and the noise of a zipper rolling. Down, I had no doubt. I squeezed my eyes shut and pressed my forehead against the cool wood of his door. Bite the bullet. Swallow your pride. This wouldn't matter in a few years. Vicious and his stupid antics would be a distant memory, the snooty town of Todos Santos just a dust-covered part of my past. My parents had jumped at the chance when Josephine Spencer offered them a job. They dragged us across the country to California because the health care was better and we didn't even need to pay rent. Mama was the Spencers' cook and housekeeper, and Daddy was part gardener and handyman. The previous live-in couple had quit, and it was no wonder. pretty sure my parents weren't so keen on the job either. But opportunities like these were rare, and Josephine Spencer's mama was friends with my great aunt, which is how they'd gotten the job. I was planning on getting out of here soon. As soon as I got accepted to the first out-of-state college I'd applied to be exact. In order to do so, though, I needed a scholarship. For a scholarship, I needed kick-ass grades. And for kick-ass grades, I needed this textbook. Vicious, I ground out his stupid nickname. I knew he hated his real name, and for reasons beyond my grasp, I didn't want to upset him. I'll grab the book and copy the formulas I need real quick. I won't borrow it long. Please? I gulped down the ball of frustration twisting in my throat. It was bad enough I'd had my stuff stolen again without having to ask Vicious for favors. The giggling escalated. The high, screechy pitch sawed through my ears. My fingers tingled to push the door open and launch at him with my fists. I heard his groan of pleasure and knew it had nothing to do with the girl he was with. He loved taunting me. Ever since our first encounter outside of his library 2 months ago, he'd been hell-bent on reminding me that I wasn't good enough. Not good enough for his mansion, not good enough for his school, not good enough for his town. Worst part, it wasn't a figure of speech. It really was his town. Baron Spencer Jr., dubbed Vicious for his cold, ruthless behavior, was the heir to one of the biggest family-owned fortunes in California. The Spencers owned a pipeline company, half of downtown Todos Santos, including the mall, and 3 corporate office parks. Vicious had enough money to take care of the next 10 generations of his family. But I didn't. My parents were servants. We had to work for every penny. I didn't expect him to understand. Trust fund kids never did. But I presumed he'd at least pretend like the rest of them. Education mattered to me, and at that moment I felt robbed of it, because rich people had stolen my books. Because this particular rich kid wouldn't even open the door to his room so I could borrow his textbook real quick. Vicious! My frustration got the better of me, and I slammed my palm flat against his door. Ignoring the throb it sent up my wrist, I continued, exasperated. Come on! I was close to turning around and walking away, even if it meant I had to take my bike and ride all the way across town to borrow Sydney's books. Sydney was my only friend at All Saints High, and the one person I liked in class. But then I heard Vicious chuckling, and I knew the joke was on me. I love to see you crawl. Beg for it, baby, and I'll give it to you, he said. Not to the girl in his room. To me. I lost it, even though I knew it was wrong, that he was winning. I thrust the door open and barged into his room, strangling the handle with my fist, my knuckles white and burning. My eyes darted to his king-sized bed, barely stopping to take in the gorgeous mural above it. 4 white horses galloping into the darkness, or the elegant dark furniture. His bed looked like a throne, sitting in the middle of the room, big and high and draped in soft black satin. He was perched on the edge of his mattress. A girl who was in my PE class sat in his lap. Her name was Georgia, and her grandparents owned half the vineyards upstate in Carmel Valley. Georgia's long blonde hair veiled one of his broad shoulders, and her Caribbean tan looked perfect and smooth against Vicious's pale complexion. His dark blue eyes, so dark they were almost black, locked on mine as he continued to kiss her ravenously, his tongue making several appearances, like she was made of cotton candy. I needed to look away, but couldn't. I was trapped in his gaze, completely immobilized from the eyes down, so I arched an eyebrow, showing him that I didn't care. Only I did. I cared a lot. I cared so much, in fact, that I continued to stare at them shamelessly. At his hollowed cheeks as he inserted his tongue deep into her mouth, his burning, taunting glare
never leaving mine, gauging me for a reaction. I felt my body buzzing in an unfamiliar way, falling under his spell. A sweet, pungent fog. It was sexual, unwelcome, yet completely inescapable. I wanted to break free, but for the life of me, I couldn't. My grip on the door handle tightened, and I swallowed, my eyes dropping to his hand as he grabbed her waist and squeezed playfully. I squeezed my own waist through the fabric of my yellow and white sunflower top. What the hell was wrong with me? Watching him kiss another girl was unbearable, but also weirdly fascinating. I wanted to see it. I didn't want to see it. Either way, I couldn't unsee it. Admitting defeat, I blinked, shifting my gaze to a black Raiders cap hung over the headrest of his desk chair. Your textbook, Vicious. I need it, I repeated. I'm not leaving your room without it.
Get the fuck out, help,
he said into George's giggling mouth. A thorn twisted in my heart, jealousy filling my chest. I couldn't wrap my head around this physical reaction. The pain, the shame, the lust. I hated Vicious. He was hard, heartless, and hateful. I'd heard his mother had died when he was 9, but he was 18 now, and had a nice stepmother who let him do whatever he wanted. Josephine seemed sweet and caring. He had no reason to be so cruel, yet he was to everyone, especially to me. Nope. Inside, rage pounded through me, but outside, I remained unaffected. Calc. Textbook. I spoke slowly, treating him like the idiot he thought I was. Just tell me where it is. I'll leave it at your door when I'm done. Easiest way to get rid of me and get back to your activities. Georgia, who was fiddling with his zipper, her white sheath dress already unzipped from behind, growled, pushing away from his chest momentarily and rolling her eyes. She squeezed her lips into a disapproving pout. Really? Mindy? My name was Millie, and she knew it. Can't you find anything better to do with your time? He's a little out of your league, don't you think? Vicious took a moment to examine me, a cocky smirk plastered on his face. He was so damn handsome. Unfortunately. Black hair, shiny and trimmed fashionably, buzzed at the sides and longer on top. Indigo eyes, bottomless in their depth, sparkling and hardened. By what, I didn't know. Skin so pale he looked like a stunning ghost. As a painter, I often spent time admiring Vicious's form. The angles of his face and sharp bone structure, all smooth edges, defined and clear-cut. He was made to be painted, a masterpiece of nature. Georgia knew it, too. I'd heard her not too long ago talking about him in the locker room after P.E. Her friend had said, "Beautiful guy." "Dude, but ugly personality," Georgia was quick to add. A moment of silence passed before they'd both snorted out a laugh. "Who cares?" Georgia's friend had concluded. "I'd still do him." The worst part was, I couldn't blame them. He was both a baller and filthy rich, a popular guy who dressed and talked the right way, a perfect All Saints hero. He drove the right kind of car, Mercedes, and possessed that mystifying aura of a true alpha. He always had the room, even when he was completely silent. Feigning boredom, I crossed my arms and leaned one hip on his doorframe. I stared out his window, knowing tears would appear in my eyes if I looked directly at him or Georgia. "His league?" I mocked. "I'm not even playing the same game. I don't play dirty."
"You will, once I push you far enough," Vicious snapped, his tone flat and humorless. It felt like he clawed my guts out and threw them on his pristine ironwood floor.
I blinked slowly, trying to look blasé. "Textbook?" I asked for the 200th time. He must have concluded he'd tortured me enough for one day. He cocked his head sideways to a backpack sitting under his desk. The window above it overlooked the servant's apartment where I lived, allowing him a perfect view directly into my room. So far, I'd caught him staring at me twice through the window, and I always wondered why. Why? He hated me so much. The intensity of his glare burned my face every time he looked at me, which wasn't as often as I'd like him to. But being the sensible girl that I was, I never allowed myself to dwell on it. I marched to the Givenchy rubber-coated backpack he took to school every day and blew out air as I flipped it open, rummaging noisily through his things. I was glad my back was to them, and I tried to block out the moans and sucking noises. The second my hand touched the familiar white and blue calc book, I stilled. I stared at the cherry blossom I doodled on the spine. Rage tingled up my spine, coursing through my veins, making my fists clench and unclench. Blood whooshed in my ears and my breathing quickened. He broke into my friggin' locker. With shaking fingers, I pulled the book out of Vicious's backpack. You stole my textbook? I turned to face him, every muscle in my face tense. This was an escalation. Blunt aggression. Vicious always taunted me, but he'd never humiliated me like this before. He'd stolen my things and stuffed my locker full of condoms and used toilet paper, for Christ's sake. Our eyes met and tangled. He pushed Georgia off his lap like she was an eager puppy he was done playing with and stood up. I took a step forward. We were nose to nose now. Why are you doing this to me? I hissed out, searching his blank, stony face.
Because I can,
he offered with a smirk to hide all the pain in his eyes. What's eating you, Baron Spencer?
Because it's fun,
he added, chuckling while throwing George's jacket at her. Without a glance her way, he motioned for her to leave. She was clearly nothing more than a prop, a means to an end. He'd wanted to hurt me. And he succeeded. I shouldn't care about why he acted this way. It made no difference at all. The bottom line was, I hated him. I hated him so much it made me sick to my stomach that I loved the way he looked, on and off the field. Hated my shallowness, my foolishness, at loving the way his square, hard jaw ticked when he fought a smile. I hated that I loved the smart, witty things that came out of his mouth when he spoke in class. Hated that he was a cynical realist, while I was a hopeless idealist. And still, I loved every thought he uttered aloud. And I hated that once a week, every week, my heart did crazy things in my chest because I suspected he might be him. I hated him. And it was clear that he hated me back. I hated him, but I hated Georgia more because she was the one he'd kissed. Knowing full well I couldn't fight him, my parents worked here, I bit my tongue and stormed toward the door. I only made it to the threshold before his calloused hand wrapped around my elbow, spinning me in place and throwing my body into his steel chest. I swallowed back a whimper.
Fight me, help.
He snarled into my face, his nostrils flaring like a wild beast. His lips were close, so close, still swollen from kissing another girl, red against his fair skin.
For once in your life, stand your fucking ground.
I shook out of his touch, clutching my textbook to my chest like it was my shield. I rushed out of his room and didn't stop to take a breath until I reached the servant's apartment. Swinging the door open, I bolted to my room and locked the door, plopping down on the bed with a heavy sigh. I didn't cry. He didn't deserve my tears. But I was angry, upset, and yes, a little broken. In the distance, I heard music blasting from his room, getting louder by the second as he turned the volume up to the max. It took me a few beats to recognize the song. Stop Crying Your Heart Out by Oasis. A few minutes later, I heard George's red automatic Camaro, the one Vicious constantly made fun of because who the fuck buys an automatic Camaro?
gun down the tree-lined driveway of the estate. She sounded angry, too. Vicious was vicious. It was too bad that my hate for him was dipped in a thin shell of something that felt like love. But I promised myself I'd crack it, break it, and unleash pure hatred in its place before he got to me. He, I promised myself, will never break me.
Chapter 2. Vicious. 10 years ago. It was the same old shit, different weekend at my house. I was throwing another balls-out party and didn't even bother to leave the media gaming room to hang out with the assholes I'd invited. I knew what kind of chaos was teeming outside the room. The snickering and screaming girls in the kidney-shaped pool at the back of the house. The gurgles of the artificial waterfalls pouring out of the Greek arches into the water and the slap of rubber-inflated mattresses against bare, wet skin. The groans of couples fucking in nearby rooms. The mean-ass gossip of cliques crashing on the plush love seats and sofas downstairs. I heard music, Limp Bizkit, and who the fuck had the balls to play Lame Bizkit at my party? I could have heard all the rest, too, if I wanted to, but I didn't listen. Sprawled out of my wing lounge chair in front of the TV, thighs open wide, I smoked a blunt and watched some anime Japanese porno. There was a beer to my right, but I didn't touch it. There was a chick on her knees below my seat on the carpet massaging my thighs, but I didn't touch her either. Vicious, she purred, inching closer to my groin. She slowly climbed up, straddling my lap. A tan, nameless brunette in a come-fuck-me dress. She looked like an Alicia or Lucia, maybe. Tried to get onto the cheerleading squad last spring. Failed. My guess was this party was her first taste of popularity. Hooking up with me or anyone else in this room was her shortcut to celebrity status at school. For that reason alone, she was of no interest to me. Your media room is rad. Think we can go somewhere quieter, though? I tapped the head of my blunt, the ash falling to an ashtray on the arm of my chair like a flake of dirty snow. My jaw twitched. No. But I like you. Bullshit. Nobody liked me, and for good reason. I don't do relationships, I said on autopilot. Like, duh, I know that, silly. No harm in having some fun, though. She snorted, an unattractive laugh that made me hate her for trying so hard. Self-respect went a long way in my book. My eyes narrowed as I mulled over her offer. Sure, I could let her suck my dick, but I knew better than to believe her indifferent act. They all wanted something more. You should get out of here, I said for the first and last time. I wasn't her dad. It wasn't my responsibility to warn her about guys like me. She pouted, linking her arms behind my neck and scooting up my thigh. Her exposed cleavage pressed against my chest and her eyes burned with determination. I'm not leaving here without one of you hotholes. I arched one eyebrow, exhaling smoke through my nose, my eyes hooded with boredom. Then you better try Trent or Dean, 'cause I ain't fucking you tonight, sweetheart. Alicia Lucia pulled away, finally getting the hint. She sashayed to the bar with a fake smile that crumpled with every step she took in those high heels and fixed herself a bullshit cocktail without checking what liquor she poured into the tall glass. Her eyes were shiny as she scanned the room, trying to figure out which one of my friends, we were the four hotholes of All Saints High, was willing to be her ticket to popularity. Trent was slouched on the couch to my right. Half sitting, half lying, as a random chick grinding on his cock, straddling him with her shirt pulled down to her waist and her bare tits bouncing almost comically. He put the beer bottle to his mouth and dicked around on his phone, jaded. Dean and Jamie sat on a love seat on the other side, arguing about next week's football game. Neither of them had touched the girls we'd summoned into the room. Jamie, I understood. He was obsessing over our English teacher, Miss Green. I didn't approve of his new, fucked-up fascination, but I'd never say a word about it to him. Dean, on the other hand, I had no idea what his problem was. Why hadn't he grabbed an ass and sprung into action like he normally did? Dean, dude, where's your piece of pussy for the night? Trent echoed my thoughts, scrolling his thumb over the wheel on his iPod, surfing his playlist, looking desperately uninterested in the chick he was fucking. Before Dean could answer him, Trent pushed the girl on top of him away mid-thrust, patting her head gently as she tumbled onto the sofa. Her mouth was still open, half in pleasure, half in shock. Sorry, it ain't happening for me tonight. It's the cast. He pointed his beer bottle to his broken ankle, smiling apologetically at his fuck buddy. Out of the four of us, Trent was the nicest. That said all anyone needed to know about the hot holes. The ironic thing was, Trent had the most reason to be spiteful. He was screwed, and he knew it. There was no way he was getting a full ride to college without football. His grades sucked ass, and his parents didn't have the money to pay for their rent, let alone his education. His injury meant he was staying in SoCal and picking up some blue-collar work if he was lucky, slumming it up with the rest of his neighborhood after spending 4 years with us rich Todos Santos kids. I'm all right, man. Dean's smile was easy, but the continuous tapping of his foot was not. Actually, I don't want you to be blindsided by something. You listening up? He grinned nervously, straightening his posture. Just then, the door opened behind me. Whoever came in didn't bother to knock. Everyone knew this room was off limits. This was the hot hole's private party space. The rules were clear. Unless invited, you didn't come in. The girls in the room all stared in the direction of the door, but I continued smoking weed and wishing Lucia Alicia would move the fuck away from the bar. I needed a fresh beer and wasn't in the mood for talking. Whoa, hi. Dean waved to the person at the door, and I swear his whole stupid body smiled. Jamie nodded a curt hello, tensing up in his seat and sending me a look I was too stoned to decode. Trent swiveled his head, grunting and greeting too. Whoever's at the door better have a fucking pizza and a pussy made of gold if they want to stay. I clenched my teeth, finally throwing a glance over my shoulder. Hey, y'all. When I heard her voice, something weird happened in my chest. Emilia, the help's daughter. Why is she here? She never left the servant's apartment when I threw my parties. Plus, she hadn't glanced in my direction since she ran out of my room with her calc book last week. Who gave you permission to come here, help? I sucked my blunt, inhaled deeply, and poured a cloud of rancid, sweet smoke into the air, swiveling my chair to face her. Her azure eyes glided over me briefly before landing on someone behind me. Her lips broke into a timid grin at the sight of that person. The ruckus noise of the party faded, and all I saw was her face. Hey, Dean. Her gaze dropped to her Vans. Her long caramel hair was braided and flung over one of her shoulders. She had on boyfriend jeans and a Daria shirt deliberately mismatched with an orange wool jacket. Her sense of style was juvenile and horrid, and the back of her hand was still inked with a cherry blossom tree she'd drawn in English lit, so why the fuck was she still hot as shit? Didn't matter. I hated her anyway. But her apparent devotion to trying not to be sexy, paired with the fact that she actually was sexy, always made me hard as stone. I tore my gaze from her to Dean. He smiled back at her. A goofy smirk that begged for me to break all of his teeth. What the fuck? You two bumping uglies? Jamie popped his gum, asking the question I never would have, tousling his long blonde surfer hair with his fist. He didn't give two shits, but knew it was something that'd interest me. Jesus, man. Dean got up from his seat, slapping the back of Jamie's neck and suddenly acting like some kind of a decent guy. I knew him too well not to recognize that he wasn't one. He'd fucked so many girls on the very sofa he'd just sat on that it was permanently imprinted with his DNA. We weren't good guys. We weren't boyfriend material, whatever the fuck that meant. Hell, we weren't even trying to hide it. And other than Jamie, who was talking crazy, plotting like a cunning freshman cheerleader to get together with Ms. Green, we didn't do monogamy. This, and only this, made me dislike the whole Dean and help idea. I had enough fucking drama to deal with. I didn't want to be there when her heart broke in my house, shattering on my floor. Besides, as much as I disliked help, she wasn't for us to destroy. She was just a country girl from Virginia with a huge smile and an annoying accent. Her personality was like a fucking Michael Bublé song, so easy and unfucking assuming. I mean, the girl even smiled at me when she caught me staring into her bedroom in the servant's apartment like a creep. How stupid could a person be? It wasn't her fault I hated her. For eavesdropping on me and Daryl all those weeks ago, for looking and sounding exactly like my stepmom, Joe. I'm glad you could make it. Sorry you had to come here. I didn't realize I was late. This is no place for a lady, Dean joked, grabbing his jacket from the arm of the black leather sofa and jogging to the door. He flung his arm over her shoulder and my left eyelid ticked. He brushed a strand of hair that fell from her braid behind her ear and my jaw clenched. Hope you're hungry. I know a really good seafood place by the marina. She grinned. Sure, count me in. He laughed and my nostrils flared. Then they left. They fucking left. I tucked the blunt back into the corner of my mouth, swiveling back to the TV. The whole room fell quiet, and all eyes were directed at me for further instructions. And what the fuck was everybody so upset about? Hey, you. I pointed at the girl who Trent had thrown away mid-fuck. She was fixing her hair in front of the mirror next to my gaming rig. I patted my lap twice. Over here and bring your friend. I pinned the other one with my eyes. The girl I'd rejected only moments ago. Good thing she decided to stick around. With a giggling girl on each leg, I took a hit of my joint, pulled the first girl's hair so that she was facing me, and pressed my lips to hers. I exhaled, shotgunning the smoke into her mouth. She took it all in with an excited gasp. Move it forward. I brushed the bridge of her nose with the tip of mine, my eyes heavy. She smiled with her mouth closed and kissed the other girl on my lap, letting the smoke seep into her mouth. Trent and Jamie watched me the whole time. They're probably just fuck buddies, Trent offered, rubbing his hand over his shaved head. I didn't hear about this shit until tonight, and Dean can keep a secret like I can keep my pants up at a Playboy Mansion party. Yeah, Jamie chipped in. It's Dean, dude. He's never had a serious girlfriend. He's never had a serious anything. Standing up, he shouldered into his navy letter jacket. Anyway, I gotta head out. Of course. To pretend to be some loser on a dating site and spend the night sexting Ms. Green. I swear, if I hadn't seen his dick in the locker room, I'd assume Jamie actually had a pussy. But I'm telling you, he added, don't overanalyze it. There's no way in hell Dean's settling down. He's set on New York for college. You're staying here with her. She didn't get accepted anywhere, right? Right. On top of that, Help hadn't bagged a scholarship so far. I knew that because we shared the same mailbox, and I browsed through her envelopes to see where little Amelia LeBlanc was headed next. So far, it looked like she wasn't going anywhere, much to her dismay. I was going to a bullshit college in Los Angeles, a couple of hours away, and she was staying here. I would come back every other weekend, and she'd still be here, catering to me, serving me, envying me. She was going to stay small and insignificant, uneducated and opportunityless, and above all, mine. I really don't give a fuck. I chuckled, grabbing both the girls' asses, clutching their soft flesh as I moved them toward one another. Lick each other's tits for me. My tone was flat. They did as they were told. It was so easy to get them to do it, it depressed the hell out of me. So where were we? I asked my friends. The girls and their tongues were at war. They begged for my attention like two dogs fighting for their lives in an underground fight. They did nothing for me, and naturally I resented them for that. In deep denial, apparently. Jesus. Jamie shook his head, sauntering to the door. He clasped Trent's shoulder on his way out. Make sure the girls don't do anything too stupid. You mean like him? Trent jerked his thumb toward me. I squinted at him, but he didn't care. He was a kid from the hood. Nothing scared him, let alone my rich, milky ass. There was rage brimming inside me. Soon it was going to overflow. They were so sure they knew me. So sure I wanted Amelia LeBlanc. Fuck this shit. I'm going down to the pool. I stood up suddenly and the girls collapsed, each of them landing on an arm of the chair with a soft thud. One of them whined in protest and the other shrieked, "What the hell?" Bad high, I offered as a half-assed explanation. It happens. The girl who'd fucked Trent a second ago smiled in understanding. I wanted to beat the shit out of their dads almost as much as I wanted to screw up Daryl. Their availability repulsed me. Are you gonna call me? Alicia Lucia tugged on my shirt. Hope glittered in her eyes. I gave her a slow once-over. She looked good, but not as good as she thought. Then again, she was eager to please, so probably not the worst lay. I'd warned her. She'd refused to listen, and I wasn't a good guy. Leave your number on Trent's phone. I turned on my heel and left. In the hallway, people made way for me, gluing their backs to the wall, smiling and raising their red solo cups to me, groveling like I was the fucking Pope. And to them, I was. This was my kingdom. People loved my type of evil. That was the thing about California, and that's why I would never leave. I loved everything other people hated about it. The liars, the pretenders, the masks, and the plastic. I loved how people cared about what was in your pocket and not in your fucking chest. I loved that they were impressed by expensive cars and cheap wit. Hell, I even loved the earthquakes and bullshit vegetable shakes. These people who I hated were my home. This place, my playground. Murmurs rose from every corner of the hallway. I didn't usually grace these people with my presence, but when I did, they knew why. Shit was gonna go down tonight. Excitement filled the air. Fell in love with a girl by the white stripes pounded against the dark walls. I didn't make eye contact with anyone, just stared ahead as I sliced through the throng until I reached the storage cellar under the kitchen. I closed the door behind me. It was quiet, dark, like me. I pressed my back against the door, squeezed my eyes shut, and took a deep breath of the damp air. Damn, that shit Dean brought in was strong. I was only half lying when I said the stuff was bad. I walked deeper into the room, mentally slamming the door on the rest of the world. On Daryl Riker, Josephine, and even on people who were only half-villains, like Amelia and my dad. My fingers brushed the weapons on the wall I had collected over the years. I fingered my crowbar, dagger, baseball bat, and leather whip. It occurred to me that one day, hopefully soon, I could give up this collection, which I had never used but owned because it made me feel safer. Mainly, having this shit meant Daryl didn't mess with me anymore. I was looking for a physical, slow-building fight. I was looking for explosive pain coming out of nowhere. In short, I was looking for trouble. When I climbed back upstairs to the outdoor pool, empty-handed, I stood over the edge. The moonlight lit my reflection against the clear water. The pool was full of people in swim trunks and designer bikinis. My eyes roamed the place, searching for Dean. He was the guy I wanted to fight, to break his smug boy-next-door face. But I knew he was out with help, and besides, rules were rules. Even I couldn't bend them. The minute I stepped out there with my sleeves rolled up to my shoulders, I invited whoever wanted to fight me to step forward. But I couldn't ask for anyone specifically. They had to volunteer. That was the dangerous game we played at All Saints High to burn time. Defy. Defy was fair. Defy was brutal. Most of all, Defy dulled the pain and provided a great explanation for my marred skin. I wasn't surprised when I heard the thump of Trent's cast behind me. He knew how fucked up I was and wanted to save the night. "Tell Dean to dump her ass or I will," he said from behind my back. I shook my head, sneering. "He can do whatever the fuck he wants. If he wants to bang that hillbilly, it's his funeral." "Vicious?" Trent warned. I turned around and sized him up. His smooth mocha skin shone under the full moon, and I hated him for his ability to enjoy the opposite sex with such carelessness. Fucking random chicks was growing old too fast, and I wasn't even 18 yet. "The shit with this chick is gonna drag everyone down a very dark path." He took off his shirt, exposing his huge, ripped torso. He was a bulky bastard. As always, I kept my shirt on. People eyed us avidly, but I'd never cared about these assholes. They wanted to fill their meaningless existence with something to talk about. I was only too happy to give it to them. I coiled my fist, cocking my head sideways. "Aw, you care about me? I'm fucking touched, T-Rex." I clutched the left side of my black tee above my heart, mocking him with a fake smile. Georgia and her airhead crew were watching us intently, waiting for the monster in me to pounce on one of my best friends. I marched past Trent, my shoulder brushing his, trudging toward the tennis court where we fought on most weekends. It was big, secluded, and spacious enough for the crowd to take seats on one side of our makeshift octagon. "Give me your worst, Rex Roth," I growled, trying to calm myself down, trying to remind myself that Trent and Jamie were right. Dean and Help were just a fling. They'd be broken up by the end of the month. He was going to dump her, hopefully with her virginity still intact, hurt and angry and looking for a rebound. She'd be fragile, insecure, and vindictive. And that's when I was going to strike. That's when I was going to show her she was nothing more than my property. "Come on, T. Move your injured ass to the tennis court. Just try not to bleed all over my fucking grass after we're done."
Chapter 3. Amelia. The present.
"Watch where you're going, schmuck!"
I shouted as I waited on the corner outside of the trendy office building on the Upper East Side. The muddy stain on my bib-waisted sailor dress, the one with the tiny smiley faces, widened, spreading quickly. I held my cell between my ear and my shoulder, swallowing a frustrated scream. I was puddle-soaked, hungry, tired, and desperate for the walk signal to turn green. On top of everything, I was already late for my shift at McCoy's.
The roar of honking traffic on a Friday night filled my ears. The problem with jaywalking in New York City was that the drivers were New Yorkers too, so they didn't mind running you over if it came to that. Or soaking your clothes for that matter.
What the hell, Millie?
Rosie coughed into my ear on the other end of the line. She sounded like an asthmatic dog. My sister hadn't left her bed all day. I would have been jealous had I not known why.
A taxi driver just splashed me on purpose, I explained.
Calm your tits, she soothed in her own special way, and I heard her shifting in bed, groaning.
Tell me what they said again.
The signal turned green. The animal kingdom that was New York's pedestrians almost ran me over as we all rushed to the other side of the street, ducking our heads under the scaffolding above us. My feet screamed with pain in high heels as I rushed past food vendors and men in peacoats, praying I'd get there before the staff meal in the kitchen was over and I missed my chance to grab something to eat. They said that while they were happy that I was taking an interest in the advertising industry, I was paid to make coffee and file stuff, not to make suggestions in creative meetings and share my ideas with the design teams at lunchtime. They said I was overqualified to be a PA, but that they didn't have any art intern positions to fill. They're also trying to trim the fat to stay economically lean. Apparently, I'm just that. Fat. I couldn't help but let out a bitter laugh as I'd never been skinnier in my life, and not by choice. So, they fired me. I blew out air, forming a white cloud. New York winters were so cold they made you wish you could show up at work wearing the quilt you'd rolled yourself up in the night before. We should have moved back to the South. It still would be far enough from California. Not to mention the rent was way cheaper.
So, you've only got your job at McCoy's left?
It was Rosie's turn to sigh, and her lungs made a funny noise. Worry colored her voice. I couldn't blame her. I was supporting both of us for now. I didn't make much as a PA, but dang, I'd needed the two jobs. With Rosie's meds, we weren't making ends meet as it was. Don't worry, I said as I sprinted down the busy street. This is New York. There are job opportunities everywhere. You literally don't know where the next job will come from. I can easily find something else. Like hell I will. Listen, I gotta go if I don't want to lose my night job too. I'm already 3 minutes late. Love you. Bye. I hung up and stopped at another crosswalk, fidgeting. There was a thick layer of people ahead of me waiting to cross the street. I couldn't lose my job at McCoy's, the Midtown bar I worked at. I couldn't. I glanced sideways, my gaze halting on the long dark alley sandwiched between two huge buildings. A shortcut. It's not worth it, a little voice inside me said. I was late, and I just got fired from my day job, and Rosie was sick again, and there was rent to pay. Screw it, I'll be fast. I ran, my spine vibrating every time my high heels hit the pavement. The cold wind slapped my cheeks, the sting like a whiplash. I ran so fast, it took me a few seconds to absorb the fact that someone had yanked me back by the courier bag slung over my shoulder. I fell flat on my ass. The ground was wet and cold, and I'd landed on my tailbone. I didn't care. I didn't even have time to be shocked or get angry. I clutched my bag close to my chest and looked up at the offender. He was just a kid, a teenager to be exact, with a face dotted with popped pimples. Tall and lanky and in all probability as hungry as I was. But it was my bag, my stuff. New York was a concrete jungle. I knew that sometimes, in order to survive, you had to be mean. Meaner than those who were mean to you. I shoved my hand into my bag, hunting for the pepper spray. I just planned to threaten him. He had to learn a lesson. The kid yanked my bag again, and again I pulled it closer to my middle. I found the cool can of mace and pulled it out, aiming at his eyes. Step back or go blind, I warned in a quivering voice. I say it's not worth it, but it's up to you. He flung his arm at me, and that's when I pressed the nozzle. He twisted my wrist violently. The spray missed him by inches.
He backhanded my forehead and shoved me away. I felt my head spinning from the blow. Everything turned black as I went under. A part of me wasn't too eager to come back, especially when my vision cleared and I realized my hands were empty. My phone, wallet, driver's license, cash, $200 I owed my landlord, dang it, were all gone. I pushed myself to my feet, dirty pavement digging into my palms. The heel of my cheap shoe had snapped when I fell. I grabbed it on my way up. Catching sight of the retreating silhouette of my mugger in the distance, my bag clutched between his fingers, I waved the wooden heel in his direction with my fist and did something that was completely out of character. For the first time in years, I cussed out loud. Well, you know what? Fuck you too! My throat was burning from screaming as I limped my way to McCoy's. There was no point crying, though I did feel pretty sorry for myself. Getting robbed and fired on the same day? Yeah, I was definitely going to sneak a few shots when my boss Greg wasn't looking. I made it to McCoy's 20 minutes late. The only sliver of solace was that the grouchy owner wasn't here, which meant that my neck was safe from getting fired for the second time that day. Rochelle, the manager, was a friend. She knew about my financial struggles, about Rosie, about everything. The minute I walked in through the back door and met her in the hallway next to the kitchen, she winced and brushed my lavender hair away from my forehead. I'm ruling out kinky sex and placing my bet on clumsiness, she said, shooting me a sympathetic frown. I exhaled, squeezing my eyes shut. I opened them slowly, blinking away the mist of unshed tears. Got mugged on the way here. He took my bag. Oh, sweetie. Rochelle pulled me into a tight hug. My forehead fell to her shoulder, and I heaved a sigh. I was still upset, but the human touch felt nice, comforting. I was also relieved that Greg wasn't there. It meant I could lick my wounds quietly without having him shouting at all the waitresses with foam bubbling from his mouth. It gets better, Raish. I got fired from RBS Advertising, too, I whispered into her cherry red hair. Her body stiffened against mine. When we pulled away, her face wasn't concerned anymore. She looked downright horrified. Millie, she bit her lip. What are you gonna do? That was a very good question. Take more shifts here until I get myself together and find another day job? Get some temp work? Sell a kidney? The last one was obviously a joke, but I made a mental note to look into it when I got back to my apartment, just out of curiosity. Yeah, right. Rochelle rubbed her forehead with her palm, scanning my body. Knowing what I must look like, I hugged my midriff and flashed her a weak smile. I was thin, thinner than I'd been when I first started working here, and the roots of my lavender hair were starting to show, but they were so light brown it didn't look too bad. My physical state, especially with the broken heel and stained dress, underlined the mess I was in. Rochelle's eyes stopped at my fist. She untangled my fingers from the shoe heel I was holding and took a deep breath, closing her eyes. I'll glue this for you. Take the shoes in my locker and get to work. And smile big. God knows you need the tips. I nodded, slapping a wet kiss onto her cheek. She was a lifesaver. I didn't even care that she was fun-sized, 3 inches shorter than me, and that her shoes were 2 sizes smaller. I bolted for our lockers and slipped into my uniform, a cropped, tight red shirt that showed off my stomach, black miniskirt, and a black and red apron with McCoy's name plastered across it. It was tacky, but the bar was frequented by Wall Street types, and the tips were great. Pushing the wooden saloon doors open and marching to the dark stool-lined counter, I ignored the thirsty, and not for alcohol, looks men sent my way. I was 27, seemingly the perfect age for the meat market New York had to offer. But I was too busy trying to survive to have a boyfriend. My policy was to be friendly with my customers without giving them false encouragement. Hey, Millie, Kyle greeted from behind the bar. He had slicked back blonde hair, studied filmmaking at NYU, lived in Williamsburg, and dressed like Woody Allen.
anything to disguise the fact he was actually from South Carolina. I smiled at him while the regular crowd at the tables, men and women in suits, scrolled through messages on their phones and traded stories about their days at work. Busy night? Okay so far. Don't freak out, he warned. But Dee is pissed at you for being late again. You'd better go take care of your tables. He nodded toward the right side of the restaurant. Dee was one of the other waitresses who worked Fridays with me. I couldn't blame her for being mad. It wasn't her fault. I was dealing with personal issues. I nodded and offered him a thumbs up, but he was already engrossed in the book he was reading under the counter. It wasn't that bad, working at McCoy's. Our clientele spoke quietly and drank expensively, always tipping 15% or more. Swaying my hips to Baby It's You by Smith, I ambled to a table in the corner of the room. It was dark and secluded from the rest, my favorite spot because it somehow always lured the best tippers. I called it my lucky corner. Two men were sitting there, hunched and engrossed in a hushed conversation. I plucked the menus from under my arm and smiled at their bent heads, trying to grab their attention. Hello, gentlemen. I'm Millie, and I'll be your waitress tonight. Can I get you anything while you... Him. That's where I stopped. Because the minute the man with the tousled black hair looked up, my heart flipped over and my mouth froze. Vicious. I blinked, trying to decipher the image in front of me. Baron Spencer was here, and to my dismay, he looked a hell of a lot better than I did. Tall, well above 6 foot, his long legs stretched to one side, with eyes dark like his soul and unruly raven hair that curled up at the sides, covering his stupidly perfect ears. High cheekbones, always rosy when touched by the sting of the cold. Square jaw and straight nose. Everything about his face was composed and icy. Only the flush on his porcelain skin reminded me that he was still flesh, blood, and heart, and not a machine programmed to ruin my life. The color in his cheeks even gave his dark, brooding features a boyish glint. I wasn't surprised to see the "I dare you to fuck with me" expression was still stamped on his face, like an old song I knew by heart. I also wasn't surprised to see that, unlike me, his sense of style had matured with age. Impeccable, yet unpretentious. He wore dark blue jeans, brown Oxfords, a white dress shirt, and a tailored blazer. Casual, understated, expensive. Nothing fancy, but enough to remind you that he was still richer than 99.9% of the population. I always changed the subject whenever my parents tried to fill me in on anyone from Todos Santos, and they never mentioned Vicious. Not in recent years, anyway. For all I knew, he woke up every day to do nothing except dress like a big-shot rich guy. I couldn't look in his eyes, couldn't even look in his direction. My gaze moved to the man who sat opposite him. He was slightly older, early 30s, maybe. Heavy set with sandy blonde hair and the sharply tailored suit of a greedy Wall Street broker. Anything to drink? I repeated, my throat closing up. I was no longer smiling. Was I even breathing? Black Russian. Sharp suit dragged his eyes along the curves of my body, stopping at my chest. And you? I chirped to Vicious, pretending to write down the drinks I would have remembered by heart anyway. My shaky hand scribbled blindly. Missing my little notepad. Bourbon. Neat. Vicious's tone was indifferent, his eyes dead when they landed on my pen. Not on me. Aloof. Cold. Unaffected. Nothing's changed. I turned around and wobbled back to the bar in my too tight shoes, placing the order with Kyle. Maybe he didn't recognize me. After all, why would he? It had been 10 years. And I'd only lived at the Spencer estate during my senior year. I tapped the edge of the bar with the side of my chewed-up pen. Kyle groaned when he heard Sharpshoot had ordered a Black Russian. He hated making cocktails. I lingered, skulking behind Kyle's shoulder, stealing another glance at the guy who used to make my heart stutter. He looked good, lean, muscled, and all man. The last 10 years were kinder to him than they'd been to me. I wondered if he was just passing through Manhattan on a business trip, or if he lived here. Somehow, I thought I'd know if he was living in New York. Then again, Rosie and my parents knew better than to share any information about the hotholes with me. No, Vicious was only here on business, I decided. Good. I hated him so much it hurt to breathe when I looked at him. Drinks are ready, Kyle said behind my shoulder. I spun around. Placing the glasses on a tray, I took a deep breath and started back to his table. My knees shook when I thought about what I looked like in this skimpy little outfit, a cheap-looking crop top and shoes two sizes too small. Shame inspired me to straighten my spine and plaster a big smile on my face. Maybe it was a good thing he didn't remember who I was. I didn't need him to know how I ended up being a broke waitress who lived off cereal and mac and cheese. Black Russian, bourbon. I placed red napkins on the round black tabletop and set their drinks on top, my eyes darting to Vicious's left hand, searching for a golden wedding band. There wasn't one. Anything else? I hugged my tray to my lower stomach, summoning my work smile. No thanks, Sharpshoot sighed, impatient, and Vicious didn't even bother to acknowledge me. Their heads lowered back to the quiet conversation they were having. I moved on, throwing glances at him behind my shoulder and feeling my pulse everywhere, down to my neck and eyelids. Our encounter was anticlimactic, but that was for the best. We weren't old friends or even acquaintances. In fact, I'd meant so little to him that at this point we weren't even enemies. I focused on the rest of my tables. I laughed at my client's unfunny jokes, and I drank the two shots Kyle slipped across the bar when my customers weren't looking. My treacherous eyes kept drifting to Vicious's table, though. His jaw was clenched as he spoke to his companion. Vicious wasn't happy. I leaned my elbows on the bar and watched them closely. Baron Vicious Spencer, always providing the best show in town. I watched as he slid a thick stack of papers across the table, pointed at the first page with his index finger, sat back and stared at the man, his eyes announcing victory.